Will you please pray with me? Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning, and may the words, Lord, that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reading recently about a gentleman who sent Christmas cards out to friends and family using only 25 of the letters of the alphabet. When friends and family admitted that they had not understood the message that he had written to them, he pointed to the card and said, "Look, no L." Last Sunday, we celebrated the first Sunday of Advent with our brothers and sisters in Christ from Fifth Street Baptist Church, and Doctors, plural, Bergen, lit the first candle of the season, the candle of hope. Our reading for last Sunday came from Mark chapter 13, from the apocalyptic text of the Olivet Discourse, and that reading made us contemplate the reality that Advent is really about two different appearances, right? Advent is a word that means appearance. Two different appearances of God into the world. The first appearance, the first Advent, took place 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born to a young virgin girl named Mary. And his next Advent or appearing will be when he returns in all of his glory to redeem and to renew the entire cosmos. Advent is a time not only to remember the birth of Jesus, which is truly a very special time of year, but it's also a time to anticipate his future coming, which makes this a season of repentance and revival. Our reading for this week, which Matt just read, came from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, and it is the account of a very special prophet who was called to be the herald of God. For two millennia, he's been known as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, and he had been chosen before his birth for this very special purpose and calling in life. Now, the gospel according to Mark begins with the words, the Greek words, enarche. And these are the very same words that the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, begin with, and that the gospel of John begin with. They simply mean the beginning. Right? The gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, of course, in Genesis, it begins within the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, Mark begins with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we have shared many times over the last year and a half, St. Augustine of Hippo's words from his Exodus commentary ring especially true in texts like today, when he wrote that the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. We cannot begin to understand the person of John the Baptizer if we do not go back to the Old Testament, and we certainly cannot begin to fathom the depths of the lordship of Jesus and the magnitude of the story of salvation without going to the Old Testament as well. The very last words of the Old Testament, they come from the prophet Malachi. And Malachi was called by God to act as his prophet sometime after the completion of the second temple by a man named Zerubbabel. I want you all to say that five times really, really fast. Zerubbabel. But Zerubbabel led the exiles from, returning the exiles from Babylonia back to Judea. And he built a very small, very humble temple, a shadow of the beautiful temple that Solomon had built sometime in the 900s BC. And Malachi is writing at a time just shortly after the writings of Haggai and Zechariah, of Ezra, and of Nehemiah. And we can date him sometime around 445 BC. And I say that because we need to realize that the gap from the last pages of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament is roughly 450 years. That is a very long time. When you consider the United States is 244 years old. So roughly twice the age of the United States, the people of Israel waited for God's voice from the time of Malachi to the time when John the Baptizer arrived on the scene, baptizing in the Jordan River. And the very last words of Malachi that close out the Old Testament are, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." You may have heard of Elijah before. He was a prophet of God who lived in the 800s BC. Right, so 2,800 years ago, Elijah was living on the earth, and he was not one of the writing prophets. There's not a book named Elijah in the Old Testament, but we can read about him in the book of 1 Kings and the opening chapters of 2 Kings. And according to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah never died physically. When his time on earth was complete, when God had determined that Elijah had finished the work that God had for him and his companion who would follow him as the prophet of Israel, his name was Elisha, they went out into the wilderness, and there a chariot of fire came down from the heavens, picked up Elijah, and took him up to be with the Lord God. Now, the long-held belief of the Jewish people, which Malachi affirms, right, in the closing words of the Old Testament, is that when the Messiah, right, the Christ, the anointed one of God would come, he would be preceded by the prophet Elijah returning to earth. When the Messiah came, according to the predominant Jewish expectation, a period of peace would rest upon their lands after they had been freed from the yoke of foreign dominion. And today we lit the candle of peace. So jump ahead 450 years from when Malachi had preached and taught and written, and we come to the opening words of the Gospel of Mark, and it is with almost certainty we know that Mark was the first gospel written. So you can't take the Gospels in chronological order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was almost certainly the first of the Gospels that were written. And it's actually Peter's account of Jesus. And Peter was living in Rome at the time, and he had a young disciple named John Mark who was with him. He went by Mark. And Mark then is sharing Peter's account of the life of Christ Jesus. And he begins with the words, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now, as you read this text, or as you hear it being read, bear in mind that the author was not using verse and chapter numbers. They were a later addition that didn't appear until sometime in the Middle Ages. And chapter and verse numbers are both a blessing and a curse to those who desire to study God's word. They're a blessing because we can quickly find the scripture that we're looking for, and it's fantastic for memorizing scripture. But it can be a curse because oftentimes we divide God's word unintentionally. We could be in the middle of an important story or an important teaching, And all of a sudden, there's a little subheading that comes up, and we stop. Nope, we're done. We can't read any further, and so we don't get the full meaning, the full intention of the text as God had willed for it. So, and I say this because when we read the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it does not mean it only includes the few verses that follow it. That's what people typically believe when they're reading Mark in a Bible study or on their own. Well, the first 8 to 12 verses of Mark look like it's a prologue, so that just must mean that's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But in reality, Mark intends for his entire gospel account, all 16 chapters, to be the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And he goes on, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. And the following lines are attributed to Isaiah, as he is considered the greatest of the writing prophets by the Jewish people. But there's actually three different scriptures that are quoted here. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That is an amalgamation of Exodus chapter 23, Isaiah chapter 40, and Malachi chapter 3. And Mark takes these three texts, each from a major portion of the Jewish Bible. Right? Exodus comes from the Pentateuch, or the Torah, the law. Isaiah represents the major prophets, and Malachi represents the minor prophets. And he uses these three to confirm to the people what has happened. And what's happened? Well, the long-awaited Elijah, the messenger from God, has appeared in the wilderness to prepare God's people for the greater one who is to come. He is their Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. And in the very opening line, Mark actually throws the people for a bit of a loop, because while they've expected this Messiah to come, they had no expectation he was actually going to be the Son of God.